million population, and it became indefensible. And that's why, to this day, quite a lot of time has already elapsed, and you would think people had forgotten about the Gaza massacre. It's already a year and a half. People's memories are short. But they can't, Israel has been unable to escape the shadow, the ghost of Gaza, in part because they went too far, and in part because of the Goldstone Report. Because typically Israel uses the slurs of anti-Semite, Holocaust denier, self-hating Jew in order to discredit the critics of its policies. But with Richard Goldstone, given his background, a Zionist, a lover of Israel, sits in the board of governors of the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. His mother was an activist in the Zionist movement. His daughter did Aliyah to Israel. Those slurs just didn't stick with Goldstone. And actually, Netanyahu, in one of his speeches, he said one of our three biggest challenges, he listed first the threat posed by Iran, and the second biggest challenge he listed was the Goldstone Report.
Well, Norman, speaking of criticism of people who criticize Israeli foreign policy, there's a new documentary about you called American Radical, The Trials of Norman Finkelstein. I want to turn to a clip of it. This bit, it talks about how the Israeli-Palestinian conflict first piqued your interest.
My first involvement publicly and politically with the Israel-Palestine conflict was the Israeli invasion of Lebanon in June 1982. The estimates are, somewhere around 20,000 Palestinian and Lebanese, overwhelmingly civilians, were killed. Immediately as the war began, I start to demonstrate outside the Israeli consulate. Of 42nd Street. I was out there every day, every night, and I had a big poster which read, "This son of survivors of the Warsaw Ghetto, Auschwitz, and Majdanek will not be silent. Israeli Nazis stop the Holocaust in Lebanon." I did manage to get all of that on one poster. And so I started to read voraciously on the Israel-Palestine conflict.
That's an excerpt of the new documentary, American Radical, The Trials of Norman Finkelstein. Norman, your thoughts about this movie, and also talk about your own family's history. It's very interesting. It goes through, talks about your parents, both Holocaust survivors, and also if you can talk about Benjamin Netanyahu referencing the Holocaust yesterday in his speech to AIPAC.
Well, I've not actually seen the movie, but those who are close friends of mine and did see it, most of them, not all, but most of them thought it was an accurate depiction of me, for better or for worse. It's like the Chinese proverb, "May you live in interesting times." I'm not sure if that's a compliment or not, but they say it's accurate. My parents obviously had a huge impact on me, especially morally. My mother was very smart, but she did not like to discuss war in intellectual terms because she felt to intellectualize it was somehow to not capture the horror of what war was. So during, let's say, the Vietnam War, when we used to watch Firing Line and there would be debates between William Buckley and John Kent Galbraith, or William Buckley and, well, the fellow's name just slips my mind. And then they would, at the end of the debate, they would get up and shake hands and pat each other on the back. And it was like, my mother was so appalling. You're debating life and death and dropping napalm on kids. And then at the end, you just get up and shake hands. Like, it's not serious. So at that point in my life, I found it very hard to talk rationally about war. And I felt it was a betrayal of my parents to have intellectual debates about it. And I think until I started to read Professor Chomsky's writings, and I found that you can have a reasoned, you can make a reasoned argument and still preserve the moral force behind your feelings. Until I read him, I was not very articulate in talking about it. Now I feel pretty able to.
Norman, we just have less than a minute to go. You end this time we went too far by mentioning Gandhi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I spent the last year reading through about 25,000 pages of Gandhi, which is about half his collected works. I found him a deeply inspiring figure, both personally and politically. And I think his approach can work in the Israel-Palestine conflict. It would take me some time to go through it because Gandhi's not nearly as obvious as people think. They just think Gandhi, nonviolence. No, there was a quite subtle, nuanced theory there. But I think what he has to say is relevant to the Israel-Palestine conflict. And I think the strategy that's now being used by Palestinians around the wall and in East Jerusalem, the kinds of tactics that Gandhi pioneered, I think those have the best chances for success.
Norman Finkelstein, his book out this week, This Time We Went Too Far, Truth and Consequences of the Gaza Invasion. The film is also out. It's called American Radical, The Trials of Norman Finkelstein. That does it for our show. If you'd like a copy, go to our website. Happy birthday to Miriam Bernard. I'm Amy Goodman with Sharif Abdul-Quddus. Thanks for joining us.
It's 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook Time for the Concert Billboard, but there isn't one, so that means it's time for Off the Wall. Okay, we're going to fade this down a little early today because we have to make up for lost time. We don't have enough time today. We only have 45 minutes, and we didn't raise a single penny last week because, well, we didn't have anybody here in the studio. But now we have a studio filled with people. Yeah, it just takes a little tirade to get to get a mob down here. Basically, we want people to give us a call at the radio station to help support this radio station and radio programs like Off the Wall. We're going to talk about a number of issues, including, yes, the big one that's in the news. But let me first of all encourage people to spread the word. In the next 45 minutes, we have a very special offer that only Off the Wall people, literally and figuratively, can take advantage of. I'll lay it out for you right now so that we can get into some subject matter for the program. First off, our phone number is area code 631-632-9872. That's 631-632-WUSB. And we are raising money for the radio station to continue operating, as it has been doing since 1977, with all kinds of alternative and progressive and fascinating radio programming that has really changed so many lives. And we hope to change many more in a positive way. Unless it's absolutely necessary to change it in a negative way, I'd like to stay positive here. All right, so what we're offering tonight, a couple of special Hope-related premiums. And again, these are only being offered during this radio program. Can't get them anyplace else. All right, for those of you out there who are looking forward to going to the next Hope Conference, Hope being Hackers on Planet Earth, takes place every 2 years at the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York City, well, pre-registration is already open. Yeah, you can register. Maybe you already have registered. But if you have not, and you want to take advantage of this special offer that we're donating to the radio station, and you want to help the radio station at the same time, give a call to 631-632-9872 and pledge $125. If you pledge $125, you will get two full admissions to the next Hope Conference, taking place July 16, 17, and 18 of this year in New York City at the Hotel Pennsylvania. Now, I should point out that already the pre-registration rate that we're offering these for is significantly more than that. And it's only going to go up even further. So if you're relatively certain that you're going to be coming to the conference, this is a no-brainer. And even if you're not certain you're going to the conference, these tickets are transferable, so you can always probably make a bit of a profit. In fact, definitely, because what they're going to be offered for is significantly more than this. But either way, you'll be helping the radio station out by calling 631-632-9872, pledging your support to non-commercial radio, to Off the Wall, to WUSB, to alternative thought in general. So that's for a pledge of $125. And again, we take credit cards, or you can pay by check, whatever works out for you. 631-632-9872. Now, for those of you that are steadfastly opposed to coming to the Hope Conference, or maybe you already have tickets, or you don't want to get extra tickets or anything like that, we have something else, too. For a pledge of $100, we will send you the entire DVD collection of The Last Hope, The Last Hope being the one that took place in 2008. That's over 100 DVDs for a pledge of $100. I mean, that's insane. It goes for four times that amount normally. And you know, what when you donate money to something, usually you're not getting more than what you're paying for, other than the concept of what it is you're pledging for. In other words, if you pledge to the NPR stations or the PBS stations, you'll get a tote bag if you pledge $500 or something like that. And I'll tell you, you can buy a tote bag for a lot less than $500. Here, we're offering you 100 DVDs that have all kinds of content on them for a pledge of $100. 631-632-9872. It's the way we do things here. Try to make it as pleasant as possible. Try to give as much as we possibly can. Now, also, if for whatever reason none of this suits your fancy, we have all kinds of other items and all kinds of other amounts. WUSB t-shirts and hats and maybe even tote bags for a lot less than $500. 631-632-9872. Sure would make me feel good to see even a single phone line light up. I mean, I know if we did this in New York City, just to give you an example of the differences here, if we did this in New York City, we'd already have something like 20 or 30 calls on the on the line, and people would be running around screaming, going nuts. This is a great opportunity. If you find yourself listening to us, you're one of our loyal listeners that listens to us, even though the audience may not be as big and the show might not be as controversial, although I think it is, actually. I think we are pretty controversial. Said a few things that you wouldn't dare say in other places. But this is an opportunity for you because there is less competition. You can actually manage to get your foot in the door. And also, the flip side of that is that everything that you donate to us means a great deal. To give you an example, it's not uncommon to try to raise $1 million during one of the fundraisers that we have at the other station. And here what we're trying to raise is, I think, a total of something like $30,000, $40,000? What is it? Ridiculously low amount. So that means your call of a $125 pledge or a $100 pledge or even a $50 pledge, whatever it is you can afford, it's going to mean so much more. But it all adds up in the end, and it's what keeps us going. And it's what makes us realize that there are people out there who do care. 631-632-9872. I am a little surprised, yeah, that there's no calls. I mean, even if you don't have no idea what I'm talking about, if you don't know what the Hope Conference is, just realizing that we're offering something at such an incredibly slashed bargain rate. And that's it. Yeah, we're not offering any other things tonight. So if you're waiting for me to come up with some new surprise, no, that's it. I mean, you can get both of them. Yeah, you could pledge $225 and get two admissions to the next Hope Conference plus 100 DVDs from the last Hope Conference. That's a pretty good deal. That's pretty sweet, I think. But you got to call before the hour is up. 631-632-9872. And I'll tell you, you know, if you're on the fence here, a great way to get me to move on to other issues of the day, which I'd really like to move on to because it has been an historic week, is to see some phone calls come in. You have that ability. You have that power. And ask yourself, is it really an incredible amount, especially if you pay with a credit card, and considering what it is you're getting in response to this? You're getting, not only are you getting an amazing radio station that has all kinds of alternative programming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and has been on the air since 1977, not only are you getting that, but you're also getting some pretty cool things sent to you as a result. Yeah. 631-632-9872. It's about now that I start to wonder if the transmitter is on or if the internet is working, and you can certainly help us determine that it is by getting a strong response. Wow, you know, I wonder how far I could stretch this if I gave away, you know, a ton of money or something for somebody who called in. You know, would the phone still not light up? Do we really have no listeners at all? It's incredible. I mean, I beg for calls sometimes when we're not asking for money, and they don't come in. But this, I was warned not to do this. I really was. People said, you're crazy. If you give away tickets, you might wind up giving away lots and lots of tickets and losing a ton of money. But, you know, first of all, that risk is worth it. Second of all, it doesn't seem like it's much of a risk here. Maybe I should explain what the Hope Conference is all about, because maybe people listening don't know what the Hope Conference is about. Well, basically, every couple of years, a few thousand hackers get together from around the world, descend upon the Hotel Pennsylvania in the middle of New York City, it's right across the street from Penn Station, and have all kinds of talks and panels and activities for the entire weekend. People literally do come from all over the world for this conference. It was the first big conference to take place in the United States involving computer hackers. Our first one dates back to 1994. And it's almost unanimously, I would say, heralded as an incredibly positive experience, something that people remember for the rest of their lives. You wind up with all kinds of friends that you stay in touch with forever. So it's a really, really good thing. And if you are curious about what hackers are all about, what all the fuss about technology, phones, computers, social networks, privacy issues, civil rights issues, all kinds of issues that we get into, this is definitely something that I think you'd be interested in. 631-632-9872. We've had incredible speakers, and we will have incredible speakers this year as well. We've had the likes of Jello Biafra, Steve Wozniak, Aaron Magruder, plus all kinds of other people who aren't big names that give incredible talks. We show films, we have Segway rides, we have all kinds of activities. Plus, you're in the middle of New York City, and it's pretty cool. But, you know, if for whatever reason you can't make it to the conference this July, the next best thing, or in some ways, a way to get even more material, is to see the DVDs that get produced each time. Now, the last time we did this, we had over 100 DVDs, with all kinds of amazing talks and panels and sessions and things like that. And that's all yours for a pledge of $100. 631-632-9872. This is incredible. Is my phone not plugged in? I mean, I have never seen such deadness. And I've seen dead things. I have seen really dead things. So this is kind of frustrating, because we really can't make it any better. We really can't give away more. Yeah. I mean, we can save a lot of money by not having the transmitter on if it's not working. But I think it is. I think, you know, there's a bit of obstinacy here. I don't know. Have all these people coming in. Yeah, that's the wrong line ringing. I see the office line is ringing, so now I know the phone is working. But but we're not getting calls coming in to us. 631-632-9872. I'm giving out the right number, or am I not? We have an 800 number, 1-888. Well, it's not an 800 number if it's an 888 number, is it? No, it's a toll-free number, 1-888-484-WUSB. That works as well in case you're in some place where you can't make a phone call, even though they're really cheap these days. Well, you know, I think I'm going to meet these obstinate people on their terms. I'm just going to keep going. I can go an entire hour just begging for calls and not talking about anything else. It's going to sound awful and pathetic, and I'm going to feel really bad. But I think it would be wrong for me to simply pretend like we don't have a problem here. This is definitely a problem. If we can't get a single person to call in, not one person with a worldwide audience to pledge for this radio station, to pledge for this show with the kinds of deals we are giving out here, then, you know, there's a lot I have to question. There really is a lot I have to question about what we're doing. Are we reaching anybody? Is there any kind of value to the show, to the station, to what we talk about? I don't know. 631-632-9872. Again, running over the premiums, $125, you'll get two tickets to the HOPE conference coming up in July 16, 17, and 18. And for a pledge of $100, you'll get 100 DVDs of the last HOPE conference, which took place in 2008. And you know what? There are stations. There are stations throughout the country where the person on the air says something like, "We don't have anything to mail to you or to give you or to bribe you with to get you to call. Call us just to support the radio station. Because you listen to this place, it affects your life, it matters to you, and that should be enough." 631-632-9872. I mean, I believe that. I believe that that should be enough. And I've called other radio stations and this radio station and just pledged because I wanted to pledge. And that's what I worry about. If that's not there, then what does that say? So if you're offended by the fact that we're giving things away, well then, that's you can ignore that. You can ignore that particular part of it and simply pledge to keep the radio station going. But if you really are into what it is we talk about and want to meet other people who feel the same way, then the HOPE Conference is definitely the place to be for that. And if you just want to while away the hours, the days, the weeks by watching some of the most interesting talks that have been given at a hacker conference ever, I think, well, then 100 DVDs, I think, will satisfy that need. 631-632-9872. Got a couple of calls coming in, but they didn't stay on the line, did they? No. So, okay, there's people out there listening. I'm annoying them, apparently. And I guess that's good. If I can annoy people into calling and saying something quickly and hanging up, that's fine. No problem. It just gives me more strength to keep going. Till we get that first pledge. And I can move on to all the topics of the world. And maybe, okay, you know what? Maybe this is a concerted effort by those people who don't want me to talk about the issues. Maybe we should ignore them. Maybe we should just, you know, play music or something non-controversial and not talk about issues. And there's no better way to do that than to be convinced that nobody cares. 631-632-9872. That is our telephone number. Now, we also have, like I said, we have WUSB t-shirts and sweatshirts and hats and coffee mugs, I think, and various other items. And we're happy to share those with you. But you got to give us a call, 631-632-9872. We have a call. Is that a pledge? I'm waiting to find out if that's a pledge, because if that's not a pledge, I'm just going to keep going. You know, we only are on for less than half an hour now. Yeah, I've already spent 18 minutes trying to get one call to come in. And there's really not much point in continuing to talk about other issues if I can't even do that. No, that was not a pledge. Okay, you know what? This is war, listeners. This is war. This is me declaring war on the listeners, because if you don't care, why should I care? Why should I care? I can play an hour of Yoko Ono, and I can play the stuff where she screams and it'll break your speakers. I can do that, all right? I can do all kinds of offensive things. Country music, you want that? We did that on BAI. That scared the crap out of a lot of people. Got the calls coming in. We can do that. We have country music here. You want us to do country music for a full week? Yeah, we can. We'll play hardball here. If that's what it takes, we are going to play hardball. All right. Maybe somebody in there can come in here and help me. Yes, because obviously I'm not doing a good job getting people to call in. And okay, people are coming in. I don't get it. Supposedly, you know, we get all kinds of mail from people who listen. But we need more than that at this point. Hey, Chris is here.
Hey, Mr. Goldstein.
I don't know if this mic is working here.
It is.
It is working. Okay.
I used it earlier.
All right. There you go. What's going on in there?
They
break the phones?
What? We had a very irate listener.
Oh, good.
So I don't want to share that on air.
Well, you can share without the words. What are they irate about?
She felt that us asking for money when it's hard times was wrong of us.
Well, okay. If it's so wrong of us to ask for money, well, it's equally wrong for her to be feeling hard times, you know, with that kind of logic.
Mm-hmm.
How dare somebody feel poor in these hard times? You know, stop needing things. Stop eating food. Stop wanting to pay your bills. I mean, that's how dare you? Have some consideration for the rest of society. Look, we're all in this together. And the only way we're going to get through this together is if we help each other. And, you know, we try and help out as much as we can by operating this place on a shoestring budget, if that. And by bringing information, we just had Democracy Now! On for an hour, which was pretty incredible, talking about health care and things like that, and bringing a perspective that listeners don't get normally. Yeah. So, you know, with that, I think the phones are ringing now.
Chrissy got it?
Yeah, she's waving, so maybe you want to get that phone call in case that's a pledge. And if it's not, come right back in. But to continue my little tirade here, yeah, we know it's hard. We know this. It's hard everywhere. Everyone's asking for something. But like I said before, this place operates on virtually nothing. If you were to see the equipment we have to work with here, it's like being in the third world. Literally, it's an embarrassment, because here we are at a modern university, and we have equipment that is older. No, you know what? It's twice as old as the students here. It really is. It's twice as old as students who come to Stony Brook right now. That is how old our equipment is. That is what we have to work with every single day. And somehow we do it. There's all kinds of notes and signs and things on various switches saying, do not use this. If you do this, this is going to explode. All kinds of things that we have to tiptoe around. And, you know, if we were the impatient type, if we were the kind of person, or kind of people, rather, that demanded only the best, we would refuse to work in these conditions, because how can we possibly operate as professionals when we have to figure out how to patch something around so that it comes out over the airwaves? You know, it's difficult. It's a challenge. There's a fan on right now. Do you hear this fan? That fan in the background? The fan is on because, well, I guess they started pumping heat into this place now. You know, we're at a state university where occasionally they just decide to do things without concern for the people. And so we have to turn on a fan that makes noise over the air, because otherwise it would be 105 degrees in here. Our equipment would start to melt, and so would we. You know, so it's these are hard times. Third world equipment. And you know what? We don't get the benefit of walking out the door and being in the third world. No, we get the third world equipment, and then we got to go back out there into SUV land. So it's not pleasant. It's definitely not pleasant. But the thing that is pleasant about all of this is knowing that there are listeners out there, knowing that people care, knowing that we're doing this for a reason. That's what makes it all worthwhile. So, yeah, we understand it's tough times, and that's why That's why we accept any amount. Any amount can help us. And you know what? If you have no amount, come down to the station, volunteer, help us out. Help make us better. You know, this is how we build ourselves. This is how we become what WUSB has meant over the years. By people walking through the door saying, how can I help? What can I do? And learning so much. And becoming part of what the media should be in this country. Had I not done that so many years ago, there are almost an infinite amount of things in my life that would be completely different, and I'm convinced not for the better. All right. Oh, my God. Well, we have a full switchboard. How about that? God. All right, listen, I'm sorry. If the phone is ringing and it's continuing to ring and it times out, please call back. Please call back. It matters so much. I'm really not kidding about this. It matters so much. 631-632-9872. And thanks for the people who are calling in. And listen, I'm sorry if I'm getting a little, testy here, but this place means a lot to me. It means a lot to so many people. It has meant a lot to so many people over the years. And yeah, we are in danger. A lot of things are in danger around us these days. A lot of good things. I've seen a lot of good things disappear. I've seen a lot of things close down that really shouldn't have. We have the power. We all have the power to keep that from happening here. 631-632-9872. And down to two calls, but if there are more of you out there, and I know there are more of you out there, please give a call. Be patient. If we're overwhelmed here taking calls, then it might ring a little bit, but please continue to call. It matters a great deal. Okay, here we are, 25 minutes after 6. We only have 20 minutes left. But, yeah, okay, we're at the stage now. Healthcare, wow. Oh, it happened. Chris, what happened out there?
Gentleman named Michael.
Okay.
Am I up? Okay.
Yes.
Very generous pledge for 2 passes to the Hope Conference.
Awesome. Thank you, Michael.
And
thank
Chrissy's taking one in there.
All right. Yeah, so there's a bit of activity there. And I see now that there's only one line lit. So
that's, I think Chrissy's on it.
If okay, well, if it rings again, then you're going to run in.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
For you, my man?
Yeah. It's just I can't see the phone. I have to
really?
Well,
are you going blind?
No, I mean, I can see the phone, but I can't see the little red light unless I turn my head and look at the thing.
Are you sure it's not glaucoma? We have to make a purchase for you?
There should be a big bright light that tells us when a phone, or maybe that somebody will just shout and scream and something.
Yeah.
We'll know that way. Yeah, I was just telling the folks, healthcare, yeah, it's a done deal now. It really is a done deal.
It really is?
Finally, you know.
I know.
I'm
ashamed to admit. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, be ashamed.
I'm ashamed to admit.
Yeah.
I'm ashamed to admit. I have not looked over the bill. I only know certain things about
okay,
it.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm not an expert on it, certainly, but if you have any issues, questions that you're curious about.
I understand we're sort of required now to have healthcare to a certain extent.
Well, not immediately.
No.
A few years down the road, but you know, that's being painted by the opposition as some big draconian Stalinist implementation of a law, and it's really not. It's basically if insurance is being made affordable, so that let's say you make almost nothing. Well, insurance is going to cost you pretty much nothing, and that's you get all kinds of I forget what the word is. But allocations. For instance, okay, let's say you're in a family of four. I think you make something like 30 grand, which is an insanely low amount to make for a family of four.
Yeah.
Well, you wind up, I think now it would cost you something like $10,000 a year, which doesn't make any sense.
That's ridiculous.
But that's what it would cost you to get insurance for your family. And with all the stipends or allocations, it would cost something like $100.
That
or you know if that now if you make $100,000 okay then it's going to cost you more. It's still going to cost you less than it costs right now. It might cost instead of $10,000 might cost you $8,000 a year, you know, but that's a good thing.
That now, is a,
maybe for the people
thing.
Who make a huge amount of money, maybe they're paying more in taxes as they should. I think
well I'll go on the record. I am both, because I have another question for you.
Yeah.
First things first, I am as liberal as they get. So I was a big fan of the single payer program that was being thrown out.
Right.
I know you've talked about it.
Right.
I also, there were a couple things actually.
631-632-9872, by the way, the phones are dead, so give a call. 631-632-9872. Go ahead.
Now, will people lose their homes if they're sick? You mentioned this last week.
That's one of the questions I had last week, and I've not been able to get a straight answer from anybody, but the best answer I've been able to get is that it would be a lot harder. And the reason for that is because people lose their homes because they have to declare bankruptcy because they can't afford to pay for their health care. Now, if health care all of a sudden is a lot cheaper for people who don't have a lot of money, and those are the people who benefit from this, and they benefit almost immediately because a lot of this is happening in the next 6 months. For instance, if you have a child who has a pre-existing condition, it will be illegal to not give that kid insurance.
I heard that. Yeah, that's phenomenal.
And you cannot have you cannot be dumped because you get sick. That's immediate as well, or in the next 6 months. There's also a limit placed on right now. There's a limit the insurance companies can place on how much they'll pay for a year or even total for you. That's going to be illegal as well. So these things are
really
are,
good steps.
They're taking effect immediately. And, yeah, you know, it's not everything I want. It certainly it's not. But it's definitely a step. Now, you know, imagine this. Imagine you're starving, right? And you know, you really have your eyes on a particular meal that's being offered, and you can't get that. Instead, you can only get a salad. Well, you're starving. You should eat the damn salad, and hopefully something else will be coming down the pike, you know, after you realize that this sustains your life a little bit. I think what's going to happen in the next 6 months is that people are going to start to realize that, hey, you know, this isn't bad. This is actually working out. Senior citizens will be getting more for their prescriptions, and various other advantages will be kicking in pretty quickly. Now, the Republicans are going to try to repeal that after people are starting to benefit from it. This could wind up biting them in the ass.
Oh, big time.
For which they can get health coverage.
You know, as you know, my better half works in the healthcare field to a certain extent.
Yes.
Sees a lot of I'm sorry, I'm blanking.
While you're blanking, 631-632-9872. We have one call on the line, so thank you that person for calling in. Please join that person, 631-632-9872. Go ahead.
But a lot of people can't pay their copays.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane.
My insurance, you know, I have what's known as the bare minimum insurance, and it went up by something like 33% just because they felt like it.
Yeah.
And then they try and throw all these other restrictions, saying, well, you have to be part of a group with at least this amount of people, and you can't do this, you can't do that. And it's maddening. And I think, you know, Obama really phrased it well today when he signed the bill, saying he's doing this for his mother, the memory of his mother, who, while she was dying, had to fight with insurance companies almost every day. That should not be happening. People should just be able to get care. And this is not – it's not like this is something that has never been tried before. This is something that works very well in the rest of the civilized world, or a westernized world anyway, not necessarily the same thing. You know, let's just stop with the blind opposition and believing everything that we're told, and also let's stop with the people who say it's not enough, so therefore it's no good at all. Because, yeah, it might not be enough, but it's definitely a step. Obama made a big mistake by assuming Republicans would want to work with him. He's learned his lesson. Mm-hmm. He knows that they just want to subvert everything he does. I don't think he's going to make that mistake again. And the fact that this was able to go through despite what could have been a crippling defeat.
Which we've had in the past with the previous health care bill.
Now, you know, one of the things I hear constantly from Republicans is that, we're all for health care reform as well. We want all these things, but we want to do it right, so let's start from scratch. Well, you know what, guys? I don't believe you, because you've been in power now for a long time, and you never tried to do anything. The last time we had any substantial movement in this direction was during the Clinton years, and we saw what happened there. That got defeated by the right wing. And when they were in power, they did nothing. So it's hard for me to believe that you guys all of a sudden want to start working on healthcare reform. So I don't believe that. I don't think anybody else should believe it as well. What I really want to stress, though, is seeing the numbers of on various TV networks. By the way, the phone is ringing.
Oh, I'll get it.
I'm sorry. 631-632-9872. What I see with various polls on television is the number of people who are opposed to healthcare reform, to what has just happened. It's very misleading, because there are a bunch of people, I think nearly 20% of the people, who say it doesn't go far enough. So then I guess what happens is the person asking him the question says it doesn't go far enough, so then you're not in support of the bill. No, I'm not in support. It doesn't do enough. And then they count that as the same, with the same people who say, I don't want any health care reform at all, I want things exactly the way they are. And then they add those two things together and make it seem as if it's a monolithic mass of people that are opposed to this. That's not the case. If you were to count the people who say it doesn't go far enough as saying, yeah, you know, I'm in favor of this direction that we're heading, well, then guess what? Guess who would be significantly ahead at that point? Yeah, the phone's ringing again, Chris.
Is it ringing
yes,
again?
Just keep
the
ringing.
The gentleman on the other line would like to know if he could comment.
He can comment, but not on the air, unfortunately. Because, First of all, we have a game coming up, and it's all patched out. And second of all, we're doing a fundraiser.
I gotcha.
Yeah, well, only 45 minutes, and we only have a few more minutes left. So anyway, we really need to focus on what we're being told, what's being said, and also be willing to try something that works in other parts of the world to see where we're wrong. I keep hearing people say, we've got the best healthcare system in the world. Well, you know what? We may have the best healthcare system in the world, but not enough of us have access to it. All right, so all those people who make a ton of money, yeah, they're getting good treatment, and we have a lot of people who really know what they're doing, but there are so many others who can never hope to even talk to these people who are experts in their field, and they have every right. They have every right to be healthy, to be taken care of when they get sick. And this is a fundamental human right that I really think it's high time we embrace. And there are going to be so many more people in the healthcare system now. So anyone who complains that they're going to start losing money, no, that you're not, because you're going to have so many more customers, so many more people involved in the first place. So it's a good thing. I'm very happy with the way things have gone. It's nice to see a positive step. Of course, you know, the challenges have begun. Lawsuits by various misguided states. You know what? I've listened to a number of constitutional experts, none of whom seem to think this is going to go anywhere. It's just another waste of time. Let's stop paying attention to them. Let's start moving on to something more pressing, more important, and not worry about what these naysayers are constantly going to be saying, which is nay. That's what they're going to be saying. And they thrive on the attention. Well, you know what? It's over. It's over. You lost. Now, let's move on to something else. So, yeah, it's historic. And I hope it actually is a step. And it would be nice if people got behind that and pushed a little bit so that it became another step. And we actually start progressing into something positive. All right, we've progressed into something positive. If you listened to me a half hour ago, I certainly didn't sound positive, but I do sound positive now because we got a flurry of calls, and that's awesome to see. And we are on for another 9 minutes, offering the same deal that we've been offering for the hour. 631-632-9872 is our phone number. What we're offering are two tickets to the next Hope Conference, which is taking place July 16, 17, and 18 in New York City at the Hotel Pennsylvania. These two tickets will get you full admission to all 3 days of the conference. Over 100 talks and all kinds of activities, all kinds of vendors and various other things to see from the hacker world. It's history. It really is history. This is the 8th conference that we've held. And they just seem to get better and better, more people coming and just more diversity in the amount of talks that we have. There are all kinds of ways that you can participate. If you go to the website, www.hope.net, you'll see some of what we're planning already. And if you want to participate, there's all kinds of calls for participation on there as well. So you can be a volunteer, you can be a speaker, you can do all kinds of neat things and meet people in the hacker community, become a part of the hacker community yourself. Cast aside the misinterpretations or misrepresentations that the mass media gives to our particular community. It's not unusual for that to happen, but you can see for yourself. Now, for a pledge of $125, you get two admissions, which is less than what is being charged either online or at the door. So it's a great deal, and it's a great present. If you're not going yourself, you can give it to somebody else. 631-632-9872. If you want some history, we are offering you a history package as well. A pledge of $100, you'll get 100-plus DVDs of the last Hope Conference, which took place in the same location in 2008. And if you're really feeling hopeful, give a call and pledge for both. $225 will get you both 100 DVDs and two admissions to the Hope Conference. This kind of thing would cost a lot more if any other station were offering it. That sounds kind of pathetic, I know. But no, it's just that we're able to do more with less. And I hate that phrase too, but it's true. It really is true. Help us do this by giving us more so that we can do a little more with a little more. 631-632-9872. That is our telephone number. We have all kinds of other premiums as well to offer for our listeners who are out there. But again, it's only for this hour. The time expires. We will not be able to offer this when the next program begins. I mean, you know, if we did this, we'd go out of business very quickly because this is below cost for us as far as what we need to bring people to the conference. So that's something else to keep in mind. 631-632-9872. One call on the line. Let's make that three or four. Let's go out with a bang. You know, a good bang would be kind of cool. Do you know today is the anniversary of the first time the word okay was used? Yeah, the things I find out. Wow. Yeah, it seems that Alan Walker Reed identified the earliest known use of okay in print as 1839 in the March 23rd edition of the Boston Morning Post, which was an American newspaper. The announcement of a trip by the Anti-Bell Ringing Society. The Anti-Bell Ringing Society. You know, it sounds like a fun time. They were a frolicsome group. That's by, I guess, their own definition. Received attention from the Boston papers. Charles Gordon Green wrote about the event using the line that is widely regarded as the first instance of this strain of OK. Apparently, OK was an abbreviation for a misspelled all correct, OLLKORRECT. So this is the kind of history that we can share with you if we just do a little bit of digging. And look this up on Wikipedia. Just type in the word OK on Wikipedia, and you can learn everything there is to know about the anniversary of this word today. Yeah, so there's that. There's all kinds of other things going on in the world. But I guess the thing going on today, apart from the healthcare being passed finally, is the fact that we're here asking for your help to keep going and hopefully getting a good response. We'll find out after the show how well we did or how poorly we did. Again, 631-632-9872. Getting a lot of feedback, actually, from people curious about the whole Starbucks thing. Actually, here's a letter from somebody. Dear Manuel, I've been a 2600 reader for a long time. I just started listening to your Off the X shows, Off the Hook and Off the Wall, via podcast, and I immensely enjoy them. And by the way, those of you who are listening on podcast right now and are listening in the future, okay, you know what? Next week, you can redeem yourselves by calling between 6 and 7 next week. Yes, we'll have the full hour and pledging then. All right, and we'll have something worked out for you as well. So, yeah, I mean, you can call and pledge for the station anytime, but you can't get these items unless Off the Wall is on the air. That's the deal. 631-632-9872. So make a note to listen live next week or just at least call between 6 and 7 Eastern time next Tuesday. Anyway, this listener writes, I heard that the Starbucks in Red Bank, New Jersey, is still in the running for your first Starbucks visit. Well, I thought I'd give you a fair warning. As someone who lived at the Jersey Shore for 8 years, the people of Red Bank are very sore about the arrival of Starbucks probably about 10 years ago. Not so much because it was Starbucks, but because it took over not one but two local mom-and-pop businesses, an independent coffee shop and a used bookseller. Red Bank folk are very particular about catering to honest local stores instead of big overpriced corporate chains. Now, I hate all coffee, period, so I personally don't give a darn where you get your coffee, but I just thought I should warn you. So you might want to either avoid the Red Bank Starbucks, or if you do have to go to Starbucks there, be sure to also patronize No Joe's Cafe, formerly No Ordinary Joe's, which I believe is the only local coffee shop left there. If I'm not mistaken, Kevin Smith's office is right above it. But we won't hold that against No Joe's, will we? Yes. Well, okay. Thanks very much for all that information. But here's how it's going to work, all right? I'm going to go to whatever Starbucks the randomized program tells me to go to. It's that simple. We have a program that has currently gotten it down to 512 locations. And next time we do a drawing, it's going to go down to 256. And yes, we are going to have a listing. We are going to have a listing of the cities that are in the running right now. In fact, we have a website called the FirstStarbucks.com. It doesn't have anything on it yet. In fact, I think it directs to the Hope Conference right now. But it will soon, probably by the time the next show is on, we'll have a listing of all 512 potential locations. And some of them are pretty interesting. Some of them are very far away. Whatever turns out to be the final one, that's where I'll go for my first Starbucks visit. Fun, isn't it? All right, one more time, 631-632-9872. Pledge for the Hope tickets, two for 125, or 100 DVDs for 100, or anything else that we offer here at WUSB, 631-632-9872. Stay tuned for lacrosse coming up.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Stony Brook Seawolves Athletics. Tonight, the Stony Brook men's lacrosse team will host Cornell University on a soggy Laval Stadium field with all the action and the pregame show, Matt Mankiewicz.
Live from Laval Stadium on the campus of Stony Brook University, it's time for Stony Brook Seawolves lacrosse tonight. The number 17 didn't fall that far. The Stony Brook Seawolves taking on Cornell University. The Cornell Big Red, number 7 or number 9, depending on which poll you're looking at. But for this third time in history, actually for the fourth time, the Seawolves had faced them, of course, in 2004, the 2002 NCAA tournament, and way back in 1999, they have not beaten the Cornell Big Red as yet. Matt Mankiewicz here. Brendan Chamberlain will be joining me in just a little bit. But the Seawolves are practicing right now their offensive and defensive drills on the field of Laval Stadium, which, of course, as Jeff mentioned, is rather soggy. The rain's been coming down for about 24 hours now. And the Big Red have been coming out on the field as well. And they will be practicing soon, too. But right now, we'll give you a little bit of background on what's been going on. Cornell and Stony Brook, the first round of the NCAA tournament was a learning experience for the Seawolves. It was their first NCAA tournament ever, and they went up against a very strong Cornell team back then. And this Cornell team, not quite as strong as it was maybe a few months ago. They lost a lot of seniors from that 2009 national runner-up team, but they are back in force in the top 10, and we'll be talking about them in just a moment. But right now, the first Ivy League contest against a school other than Harvard during head coach Rick Soule's tenure. And Soule was 0-5 against Cornell when he was coaching at Dartmouth in the Ivy League. And that will do it for the Seawolves at home in non-conference play as well, because they will be facing Bryant on Saturday. That will be on the road, and then the America East kicks in. And seven players from Long Island are on the Cornell roster. Now, of course, they wear red just like the Seawolves do. They will be in the away red and the Seawolves in the home white, but both their helmets are red. And it's very interesting that only a week ago, Stony Brook was playing St. John's and they wear the same color scheme. Also interesting, could it be shades of Sleepy Floyd to James Worthy, as the Seawolves and the Big Red both wear red helmets? As Brendan Chamberlain mentioned last week, turnovers waiting to happen when your teams wear the same colors. The Seawolves have left the field, and they will be gathering at the bench and talking about game strategy as we get set in just a few minutes. And the game on Tuesday started a little bit early, and let's see what the plan is for tonight. Now, as other things that you need to know about the Stony Brook Seawolves, if you played in the state of New York last year, you probably lost to the Seawolves. They're 4-16 against the Ivy League, but they beat Siena and St. John's this year, and they won four games last year against New York State teams, so a six-game winning streak there. And the big thing that sticks out in Stony Brook Seawolves fans' minds was a very, very tough loss to the Denver Pioneers against Bill Tierney's team, him taking over from all those years of national championships at Princeton, and gave the Seawolves an example of what a well-coached game can do to them. 13-12, the final there. And that was, as we said, a really tough one. Jordan McBride and Kevin Crowley each scored three goals, but not necessarily their typical goals. And the Denver Pioneers ended up outscoring the Seawolves 6-1 in the fourth quarter. Tom Compitello, the senior, had a goal and four assists. They had eight different players score for Stony Brook. That wasn't bad at all. Mark Matthews and Patrick Rogers tallied three goals apiece for Denver. They rose to 4-4 on that. The Seawolves led 5-1 after one quarter, 6-1, their largest lead, and Denver came back to tie that at 7-7. The Pioneers then started to see the Seawolves pull away to 11-7. They got goals from Crowley, McBride, Kyle Belton, and Steve Waldeck, but it didn't matter because what happened was senior Mike Sopko found McBride to make it 12-8. Five different players scored for Denver in the fourth quarter. Charlie Dickinson scored with 2:37 left, and that proved to be the game winner. Crowley and Compitello each took a shot with under 10 seconds left, didn't find the net. Waldeck finished with a game-high seven ground balls. Charlie Parr made 11 saves for the Seawolves, and they were 3-for-3 in their man-down defense, so at least Denver didn't score man-up goals, but they did score just enough. And the numbers, very, very close overall. Stony Brook and Denver, 30 ground balls each. The face-offs were almost dead even. Denver, the slight edge, 15-14. Well, getting close to starting lineup time because the captains have shaken hands, and let's do that right now. For the Cornell Big Red, the attackmen, as we said, they lost a lot of guys to graduation, so just sophomores and seniors in their front six. But for the Big Red, at attack, it will be Rob Pinnell, who's their lead scorer right now, sophomore attackman from Smithtown West High School. Scott Austin, who is also a sophomore, he wears number 20 on the Cornell squad, and he is from Duxbury, Mass. And Duxbury High School. Ryan Hurley is a senior, and he's the only senior on the starting attack, and he is from East Eagan, Minnesota, the Academy of Holy Angels. Austin Boykin, the senior midfielder. He comes from Lutherville, Maryland, and St. Paul's School. Roy Lang is a sophomore from Mill Valley, California. And, of course, Ben Batanti is on the sports section. He lives out there, and they're really starting to build lacrosse out on the West Coast, and you're starting to see some results on the on some of the top teams on the East Coast. Pierre Durkak is a senior, a long stick mid defenseman, Keswick, Virginia, and Norfolk Academy. On your D for the Big Red, Andrew McDonald, senior from Longmeadow, Massachusetts. Jason Noble, a freshman starter. He is a defenseman from Orangeville, Ontario, Canadian. And Max Feely, he's a junior. And Max Feely is from Washington, D.C. in the Landon School. A.J. Fiore, freshman starting goalie for Cornell. He's from Ithaca. He's a local. Your usual suspects for the Stony Brook Seawolves and your attackmen. First of all, you start with and end with Jordan McBride from New Westminster, British Columbia. He's a junior. Sophomore Kyle Belton, he is also a Canadian from Langley, B.C. And Tom Compitello, he's a little bit more local. He's from Halpog, and he's a senior attackman. Your starting midfielders, Timmy Trenkel, the junior from Comac, Kevin Crowley, the junior from New Westminster, and Robbie Campbell, fellow Canadian. He is from Delta, B.C. Let's take step out for the national anthem and finish the lineup at the back end.
Good evening and welcome once again to Seawolves Country as tonight Your Stony Brook University Seawolves take on the Cornell Big Red in NCAA lacrosse action. At this time, we ask you to please rise, remove your caps, and join our players, coaches, and officials in honoring America and those who protect our freedoms with the playing of our national anthem.
Live at Laval Stadium, Matt Mankiewicz here, bringing you the Stony Brook Seawolves and the Cornell Big Red. Rounding out the Stony Brook lineup, well, you got all veterans at defense, and of course, everybody knows we're going to be seeing there, and it's going to be Chris Ginlett, the senior defenseman from Cicero, New York, Steve Waldeck, he is, of course, from Levittown and MacArthur High School, Mike Sopko, and he wears number 29, and he is from Shoreham Wading River. Charlie Parr is in goal, and he is from Huntington, New York, and a transfer from Nassau Community College. No surprises there in the opening lineup for the Stony Brook Seawolves. Of course, we'll see Adam Rand at Fogo, and we'll be getting underway in just a moment here. Some other important facts. Last time these two teams met, March 13, 2004, that was up in Ithaca. Cornell won 9-5. It was a closer game, of course, in the NCAA game. I believe that was a 12-3 final way back when, 2002. I remember that game very well. That was up at Brown University. And, of course, Stony Brook, their first America East Tournament championship back in 2002 when they first joined the conference. Their only one so far. They, of course, have been to the America East Finals twice since then in 2005 and 2009. If Cornell were to win this game, they'd get their fourth straight victory over the Seawolves. They'd improve to 6-1 in the season, and it would also go to 3-0, and it would be the 671st win in program history. They date back to 1893. This was a potato field in 1893. Laval Stadium, of course, one of the better lacrosse facilities in the nation, opened way back in 2002. Your statistical leaders for the Stony Brook Seawolves, Jordan McBride, 26 goals, got three of them, of course, against Denver. Tom Compitello leads the field with 15 assists. Jordan McBride overall with 32 points, and Stephen Waldeck with 44 ground balls, and Charlie Parr, 71 saves. This is where things got a little deceptive when we faced Cornell back in the NCAAs, because Stony Brook statistically looked better in Cornell. They had more ground balls, they had more this, they had more that. Gets a little deceptive with the ground balls, too. Ryan Hurley leads Cornell with 18 goals. Rob Pinnell with 14 assists and also 25 points overall in the season. Austin Boykin has 24 ground balls to lead the team, and A.J. Fiore with 51 saves. Now, again, watch the competition that Cornell has faced, and also watch a competition Stony Brook has faced. It's not as much of a disparity difference between 2002 and 2010. Cornell did win their first Ivy League game of the season. They defeated Yale last week 18-7. Seawolves have taken the field. Cornell taking their time a little bit here. Jeff Tambroni is head coach at Cornell. He is a 1992 graduate of Hobart. Of course, Rick Soule, you know. 97-34 is Tambroni's record. 9 seasons at Cornell. as, again, the goalies shake hands, as do the starting lineups, and they take their positions on the field here at Laval Stadium. And we have somebody directly under our ambient mic, which is good. Get some heckling and cheering in as we get ready to go here at Laval. You're listening to 90.1 FM WUSB Stony Brook. It's time for Stony Brook Seawolves lacrosse, Stony Brook and Cornell, as we get ready for the face-off. Adam Rand looked like he had a clean win there, got a stick on it. The ball is still being fought for. It's going to kick out into Stony Brook territory. Stony Brook is actually working from left to right. Cornell working from right to left, still fought for. Now Cornell picks it up and taking a shot at the doorstep and missing wide is Robert Gibson, the sophomore from State Hill, New York. So we will try this again as Cornell gets back to the end line, actually the sideline. That's Slate Hill. And we will reset. Just underway here at Laval. Stony Brook Seawolves, Cornell Big Red, 18 seconds in. Taking the inbounds pass, that's Roy Lang of Cornell. As they'll whip it all the way around to the left side to Christopher Ritchie. And they'll bring it back over to the X. That's Chris Langdon. Coming around to Ritchie over on the left side. Ritchie at the elbow, trying to work his way around Laverne. Gets pushed to the goal line extended. They come back to the X. That's Pinnell. Pinnell very, very dangerous. Pinnell at the X going to feed down low. They score. Cornell, the feed to Ritchie at the doorstep from Pinnell puts him up 1-0. 14:05 left in the first. Less than a minute and Cornell's on the board.
Cornell ball scored on the line of 4. Christopher Ritchie on the assist number 3. Rob Pinnell. Ritchie and Pinnell at 14:05 in the first.
So Gibson and Rand will take the field for the faceoff. At the wings for Stony Brook, Waldeck and Crowley. On the Cornell side, that is Dudley and Durkak. As the ball kicks back out on the Stony Brook side, still in neutral territory, winds up in the Stony Brook box. It's picked up by Ginlett. He's got two red shirts on his back, and they knock it loose. Ball still being fought for and eventually picked up by Cornell. And coming in and trying to penetrate, seeing what he can do here as they try to pass down low to Durkak with the long stick, and it was even too high for him. Cornell throws it away. The Seawolves catch a break. The Seawolves will take it on the football 20-yard line, which is about halfway inside their own territory. And the guy who will bring it in will be Mike Sopko. And he'll complete the clear himself and take it into Cornell territory. First thing he does is dumps it off the belt, and that's not quite the X. Now he's hugging the end line, trying to look for a wraparound about even with the goal. He goes over the shoulder. He fires. Sound looks like it hit a post as the ball bounces back all the way over to the far side in the corner. And Compitello will bring it back in for the Seawolves. 13:18 left in the first. It's 1-0 Cornell. Seawolves with their first possession of the game. And the ball is overthrown a little bit, intended. Campbell tried to get Crowley there. Crowley recovers. He goes to feed to McBride. McBride fires a laser wide. And the Seawolves try once again. Compitello bringing it in near side end line. Pass to Trenkel on the near side. Coming back to the top to Crowley. Now over to Belton. Belton trying to find McBride, but takes a hit, and the ball gets knocked loose. Ball still knocked loose and now picked up by the Big Red. Now Campbell trying to push him out of bounds. The Big Red defender could not do it, but the pass is knocked loose as they try to get to midfield, and it is picked up by McDonald. McDonald goes long to the far side and finds his man in Austin Boykin. Boykin will complete the clear. Get rid of it real quick. Pass off to Ritchie. Ritchie in neutral territory now. Now to the right elbow of the restraining box as he will step in. And guys will trade places, and Chris Langdon will get a touch. And Langdon will go to the left elbow of the restraining box and go cross field over to the right side and once again find Chris Ritchie. Ritchie and Langdon will play catch in neutral territory. Now they'll go to the left side and find Pinnell. Pinnell is over on the left side of the box. He's being guarded by Ginlett. He'll bring it over towards the slot. Now to the left side of the slot, trying to lose Ginlett. Does get free. Help defense is there, though. He'll fire a shot, actually a pass, and a beautiful shot and a pass to Austin. Austin drops it in. It's 2-0 Cornell, and the Seawolves all of a sudden are a little bit of trouble very early on. 11:50 left in the first. Cornell with a pair of quick goals. Not where the Seawolves want it to be. This is actually more along the lines of the way they start games. They certainly started the Denver game this way. They started the St. John's game this way. Something to get used to here. Your poles for Stony Brook will be Waldeck and Laverne. It'll be Rand again. And this time it'll be Ross Gillen, the freshman from Plano, Texas, at the faceoff. And a clean win by Rand gets knocked loose again. And that's Dirkak, and that might be a push against Cornell, and it is. Loose ball pushes, the ball was knocked free. So the Seawolves will get it going. It'll be Brian Reinert who will work the inbound. First thing he does is get it to Waldeck on the far side, who then passes to Laverne, completes the clear on the right side. Quick handoff to Timmy Trenkel, around to Compitello behind the net. He winds behind the X and hands off, passes off to McBride. Left elbow to Crowley, now at the top of the slot, Campbell. Right side, quick pass over to Trenkel, now around to the X, once again to Compitello. 11-12 remaining in the first, 2-0 Cornell here at Laval Stadium. Campbell takes a pass over on the left side, up top to Crowley, now to Trenkel. Trenkel looking to penetrate. Trenkel to the right side of the slot, about 10 yards out. Tries to go towards the doorstep, gets pushed out to goal line extended. Now over to Compitello at the X. Compitello, left side of the crease. Compitello now, quick flip back over to McBride over on the near side. Not the normal position for him. Back to Compitello at the X to Trenkel. Quick flip over to Trenkel. Trenkel loses a stick, and he also lost the ball briefly. Not actually handed it off to Compitello, kept it. They tried a little hidden ball trick there. Didn't lose the ball, did lose the stick. He now has the ball and the stick at the X. Trenkel, goal line extended, overthrows the ball, winds up in neutral territory. Quick recovery for Campbell, though, has plenty of space. Campbell, looking at penetrate, tries to go to the right side to Trenkel. Trenkel feed, tried to find Belton there. It was too high, and Cornell comes up with the ball. Give Jason Noble the credit there. Trying to get a transition game going here, and they do so, and a great bang-bang play from Pinnell, and got down low at the crease to Ryan Hurley, and another Cornell score. It's 3-0, and we're inside the 10-minute mark. Stony Brook's got a call timeout here, and they do. Transition game has been Cornell. Face-offs have been Cornell. Ground balls have been Cornell. A lot of the things that Stony Brook does well, Cornell is doing better right now. But ball control is going to be very critical, as it has been historically, to control the Seawolves. You got to control Cornell very early here with 9:57 left in the first quarter. Seawolves, of course, they maintained a ranking. They only dropped a couple of places in the polls. The Nike Inside Lacrosse poll and the USILA poll both have them at 17. USILA had him at 15, and Nike had him, I believe, as high as 12, and if you believe Laxpower, had him as high as 9 last week, but the loss to Denver did cost them a bit. As far as the at-large bid is concerned, we've been talking about this at length. An opportunity, should the Seawolves pull it out here, to get themselves back in the debate, but with the America East playing as poorly as they are, Albany and UMBC having the trouble they've had in the non-conference schedule, you have to wonder how much that's going to affect the overall RPI. So we got Boykin on the face-off, facing Rand.
Boykin and Rand at the X.
And Rand got the ball back in the Stony Brook territory, but got out-muscled, and once again, that's Boykin who picks it up. He'll take his time at the right elbow, guarded by Waldeck. Now, he's going to try to get past Waldeck. He can't do it. First thing he does, he gets rid of it very quickly. As he finds Hurley, who scored one of the goals for Cornell, and they wind all the way around counterclockwise. Finally, David Lau gets the touch, as he's guarded by Vonzel Legall. He's over on the far side now. Legall staying close. Legall has a short stick, remember. Legall making contact with him now, pushing him out to the near side. And coming in is Ross Gillum. Gillum tried to find a feed low, but actually got deflected. And Charlie Parr, believe it or not, with the long...